that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a beautiful radio ranch this Saturday morning, the last Saturday in July, July 30th, 2016. And guys, can you believe that July is already over? Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Appreciate you from joining us out there, and I'm sure it's going to be a warm Nebraska day there where you're at. But boy, here it is. July is already over, July 30th, or it will be tomorrow, at the end of tomorrow. But praise the Lord, it's a beautiful day, and this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We'll have the phone lines open up here in a few minutes if you want to call in, if you have a word or two to share, or maybe a question. If you want to call in, 307-745-5913. We've got a few things we thought we'd share with you this morning, but we'll start with a word of prayer. John, we'd ask you to open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Sure. Well, good morning, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We do thank you for all the many blessings. Lord, we praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. And Lord, we are your people, the remnant, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those people who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding to face these things that are taking place all around the world, Lord. Give us the wisdom of Solomon, that we would know what it is that you would have us to do. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us a spirit that's willing to receive the direction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to put aside our own selfish wants and needs and wills and desires. And Lord, continue to come to that complete obedience that your word demands, Lord, for your people love you with all of their heart and their mind and their soul and their strength. Lord, we ask for a special anointing on this morning's assembly, Lord, of the saints of the body. Lord, give us the words and the topics that you believe are important for your people. Lord, your word says, where two or more are gathered, then you're there also. And we ask you, say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and bring your myriads of angels with you, Lord. Let this group of obedient followers of Jesus Christ be a blessing to you and to yours. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for the provisions that you make to put the shortwave signal out, Lord, and to create the internet signal and to allow us to record these broadcasts that may reach people a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Lord, we're so grateful for your provisions that you made over the past 30 years to record the prophetic truths that you gave to Peter, John, Peters. Lord, we ask that you would continue to expose those truths to your people. Your word says that in the last days, knowledge would increase. And Lord, we see that that's taken place. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. We fear only you. And we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, part of our Bible reading plan, we've been promoting, and I hope I don't sound like a broken record in promoting it, but, you know, as a people, we do not read our Bible enough. And in the plan today is Psalms 51, and wasn't going to think much about it. I'd read it earlier this morning, but had kind of another second witness about this being it's a type of prayer. Many of the Psalms are. They're speaking to God. And Psalms 51 is one of a confessional type prayer. We are to confess our sins, and when we repent and return to God, there is nothing He will not do. There's nothing He hasn't done for us. But when we repent, when we go to God, acknowledge our sin before Him, It just opens up the power. So I encourage you, not going to read all of Psalms 51 this morning, but folks, if you're tuning in, I encourage you to do that. Read Psalms 51. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 4 says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. And you know, I think that maybe that's one reason this verse stands out, because you know, Pastor used to call the people that this truth that he put out, he'd call them truth junkies. That's what he'd call us, you know, truth junkies. And it'd be like, because the truth just resonates, it does. And there's so many lies today, so many flip flopping on issues by people. The Supreme Court. 20 years ago they were voting against same-sex marriage, and then, recently they support it. And so they flip-flop, presidents flip-flop, but God's truth rings true. He does not change. His truth is the same today as it was yesterday, as it was 6,000 years ago. And the gospel message is still true. And it still today is repent or perish. Here in verse 7 it says, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And at the top of that column in my Bible, I wrote baptism. Because that's just what it alludes to. It's a foreshadowing here in the Old Testament. Of course, it all is a foreshadowing of Christ. But, verse 14 says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. And, you know, that's just what he did in Jesus Christ, is he delivered us from our my blood guiltiness. And we have to remember that in everything that's going on today, the turmoil in the world, the diseases, the plagues that maybe we may be seeing just the very beginning of the starting of now, you know, the chaos, the the fear and loathing that they was quotes about when the Democratic National Convention opened this past week. It said it opened with fear and loathing. You know, I think that's a first. But that's because God answers our prayers, and we've been praying the pistol prayer for the D.C. sorcery to cease and the satanic strongholds to release. And praise the God, praise the Lord, He's done that. And so we see all this turmoil in the world, but we still have that good gospel message, and we still put it out. You know, the people, as things get worse and worse, some will wake up. Some will be as they were 30 years ago, as they were 20 years ago, as they are today, searching for that truth. And we're doing our best to continue to put that truth out. Verse 15 says, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. And he goes on, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And see, I think to me that's that repentance. That's that realizing that we're nothing without God, that coming to Him and, Lord, forgive me, direct me down your path, and anyway.
Yeah, we have to remember, David wrote that Psalm 51 when he finally acknowledged the sin after yes. Nathan exposed it to him.
Yes.
And this was his way of crying out to God for forgiveness. And it's in here for us to cry
Amen.
Out to God for forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. And it is. It's a, you know, repentance, confession, Lord, because, you know, and that was one of the other things that one of the many, many other things that Pastor taught us is how the scriptures tie together. One doesn't overrule another one. They all tie together. You know, you read Psalms 51.
Harmoniously,
that's right. You read Psalms 51 and you read any of it. It ties in with, yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean we're all to remain in sin. No, we're to come out of her, my people. don't continue to participate. You know, time and time, that's one of the reasons Bible reading, scripture reading is so important, because you see that that's our people in the past. It'd get a generation or two with a wicked king, and before you knew it, everybody was sinning. And sin was prevalent in the land. And the prophet would have to come up and say, wait a minute. Remember your God, the God of the Bible. He delivered you out of Egypt. He can deliver you again, but you got to follow His word. You got to do what He says to do, and then He will deliver you. And the people would be convicted, and they would repent. They'd sign covenants. They would enter back into covenants with God, and life was good. And you know, it's that's the Bible story. But we have to repent.
Yeah, I think we forget sometimes the story of Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came to Lot, and how the wicked in the city tried to break down the door to have their way with those men
yeah.
because the city was such full of filth with homosexuality and who the heck knows what else, transgender, bestiality, all the stuff
all of
that
it.
The Antichrist
I think all of it.
Trying to bring into this country right now.
Yes.
So, you know, as we see these things develop, we see that we're heading more and more towards Sodom.
Yes. And folks, you can read about that in Genesis 18. You know, I'll just make that quick note. You know, go back and read. The Bible says that all scriptures were given to us for our learning. And, you know, we haven't learned as a people. But you can read about it in Genesis 18, how the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and their sin exceedingly grave. And it brought God down out from His throne to go see, and He wiped it off the face of the earth as a result. So, Tim, you had something.
I was just going to say the other thing is, as far as that, you were talking about the DNC convention starting with with, what was it, Fear and
Loathing? Fear and Loathing was the headline.
Yes. Well, they did that to themselves. It wasn't too long ago that I kind of made, in my own mind, the initials DNC stand for Deny Christ, because,
yeah,
you know,
that's just what they did.
Just, yeah, and that brings Fear and Loathing.
Right.
Know? So
they did that.
Well, there's also the headlines were Confusion and Chaos.
Yes.
Which is exactly what we've been playing. Praying, I mean, is for chaos and confusion to come into the camp, for that to be like the Tower of Babel, where God confuses their speech, and you can see if you watched any part of it that they're turning on each other, and apparently even Bernie Sanders now has left that party and make start a independent. So you know, there's so many things that are going on that we really don't have an understanding of. All we can do is pray for the Lord's will to be done, and that he remembers grace and mercy in his wrath and finds us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Psalms 51, going back to Psalms 51, we start at, you know, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
yes,
and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. That's the Great Commission, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
We're supposed to be teaching people.
Amen. Amen. There's
Amen.
That tying in of Scripture. You know, it does. It harmoniously, as you said, Tim, it ties together. Again, but if people won't read their Bible, if all they want to know is the, you know, the earn run average of the, you know, the Jose Gonzalez or whoever's playing in, you know, the sports this week, you know, our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, for a lack of biblical knowledge. They certainly are. They certainly are. But not all of them are, because, you know, some are hearing the call of come out of her, my people. Some certainly are. And some are standing on the Scriptures like that Psalms 51 and being led to water baptism, to repentance and water baptism, you know, because that's what David cried out for. You know, David didn't have that, but he cried out for it. Wash me, O Lord. Make me white as snow. You know, and it does point to Christ. And that's how we are. You know, that's how we are born again. That's how our sins are washed away. It's when we are clothed in Christ, as I think Galatians 3:27 tells us, when we're baptized into Christ. And, you know, anyway, it is. It's...
We have it so much better than David did in some ways, because the Christ has came and redeemed, and that baptism is open to us. And David had a different set of you know, implementations there to him, and he still, you know, made that all, even though that he was living under a different time, he made that all work, and he cared about his God enough to have a contrite heart and a broken spirit,
yes,
and to do all those things. And the more it changes, the more it's the same. We have it easier in some ways, and I think we're back in a situation again, in an Egyptian type situation, where we have all these things coming in upon us, but that Bible reading is really important, because it gains us perspective. And I know I talk to people sometimes, and they're like, "Well, you know, there's just it's so disjointed between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's no harmony there." And my response is usually, "If you are having trouble harmonizing that, it's not about the Bible. It's about you. You need to gain perspective and pray for perspective on how those things harmonize."
Right.
So we see that.
How many times does the first part of the New Testament reference the Old Testament?
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
I think over and over.
I think a full, at least a third. I've read it somewhere, but I don't recall exactly the numbers. But I think at least a third of the words in red, in a red letter Bible, the words of Christ, are direct quotes from Isaiah, from Psalms, from Jeremiah.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
And it absolutely is. And it does harmonize. And that was, you know, that was one of the, when you read through the old scriptures, the Old Testament, you see that at times, you know, what brought about repentance? God would raise up a prophet. You know, I mean, it might be a fig grower, but he raised up a prophet, you know. And very, very few times did he come from the, you know, the religious leaders' academy or college or university or school of higher learning of the day. No, he would do that. He'd get a, you know, a grower of figs. You know, that's how God works. You know, he'd use a shepherd boy to come up and to teach and to put his word out to his people. And that person would come up and tell the people who they were, that they were the people of the promise of the covenant, and that they had turned away from God. And that's why the problems were happening in their society, in their life, in their country, in their nation. And that's what our pastor did. Our pastor had that spirit of Elijah about him, you know. And he told the people, at great cost to him, but he told them flat out the truth, who they were. And we continue to do that, to put out that Anglo-Israel message, who we are, because that is a very important part of the gospel message. That's the lost sheep of the house of Israel that Jesus Christ came to, according to the word. Now, it's as politically incorrect as it can be, but it's biblically correct. And so you get to, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You get to choose you this day who you're going to serve. The Bible and its correctness and its truth and its King and Lord Jesus Christ, or the politically correctness of, you know, whichever way the wind's blowing in this once Christian nation of ours.
I was talking with Ted, the head engineer at WTWW, the shortwave station, and we were talking about Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And that's basically the theme for Bible Worldwide, is it puts out the pure, unadulterated Word of God in 10 languages, you know, 24 hours a day. That's the goal of that. That was a conviction that came upon Pastor Peters, that, you know, we need to reach as many people as we can, because the word is clear that God's scattered his people all over the world.
All over, yes.
So there's members of the body. There's those that are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's those that are to be reached. And we're convicted to do those kind of things, then we have to, and we have to go forward in faith, you know. Never really knew how you're going to come up with the funds to do it, or how you're going to come up with the funds to keep it on the air, but God does. And if you go forward in faith, he always makes a way, because it's his will. And if you go forward with his will and not your own will, then he makes the provisions that need to be made.
Amen. Amen. And you know, John, that brings up a good point. There's so many out there that don't realize, I'll say those that support this ministry, you don't realize how far your support goes. You really don't. But you are part of, you know, your church. When you support Scriptures for America ministry, you know, it's your church. It's your ministry when you do that. And when you do, that helps do that very thing. It puts the word out, like you said, John, in what? It's 10 different languages now, all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on a shortwave station. You know, and there's no fund drives, there's no begging for money, it's called faith. It's called faith in, you know, having a, like you said, John, having a vision, and that was one of our pastor's visions, was to have a shortwave station, you know, not so that it could be the Peter's shortwave station, no, so it would put the, like you said, the word of God out in different languages to the people. It would preach the gospel to all creation. It would do what, you know, his part, our part, in fulfilling as much as we could the Great Commission. And that's just what it does. And you know, there's so many out there that they don't realize you know, the things that, that kind of go on behind the scenes, the things that, you know, that we don't talk about a whole lot. You know, oh, the shortwave station, yeah, it's, you know, it's broadcasting out today. It's you know, but there's, it also broadcasts out that word of God all across the world in different languages, the gospel message. And you know, it ties in with that frequency of the proper word being going out, and it, you know, it combats, and it's planting seeds all across the world that, you know, it's planting seeds that we will, you know, at least in this lifetime, we'll probably never see the fruit that comes from it, and that's fine. You know, that's not why we do it, and that's not why our pastor did it. He did it because the word says to do it, and so that just, you know, when you support this ministry, you are a part of that, you know, as well as all the other things that we do here. But it takes, you know, just like any business, it takes financial support to run the shortwaves, to pay the electric bill, to have those things operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And thank God his remnant out there is convicted to support that.
If you understand electricity, a 100,000 watt transmitter requires 400 amps of 480 volt three phase. And on top of that, it requires a heat exchanger and 10 tons minimum of cooling. So it's an air handler that produces nothing but air conditioning. But each transmitter requires 400 amps, 480 volt three phase, 10 tons of cooling, and a heat exchanger. So the electric draw on something like that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and Walmart doesn't carry those things that you're talking about, does it, John?
No, they don't carry the parts either, and yeah, they're proud of the parts.
Yeah.
But it's all good. God's got it under control. If we had to worry about every little thing that the ministry does, then we right. wouldn't be doing anything, because none of the numbers ever match. So,
yeah, but it works. God works it. See, it's kind of like God's crazy math, you know, and that's what tithing is. You know, it's I've heard it described like that, God's crazy math. And so, you know, we're supposed to believe that, God, you say you can do more with my 90% of the money I make, of the increase I get. You can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. God says, yeah. He says, if you don't believe me, try me. And you know what? His word is true. His word is true. If you want to get by today, the law of tithing certainly applies. You can read about it back in the days of Abraham and Melchizedek, that there was the tithe was given then. It was part, you know, the law hadn't been written down yet. It hadn't been codified. It was a law in their heart. That it was understood. It was understood. And it still is today. You know, there's many writings out there, oh, the tithe is not for today, and blah. Well, if you want to be blessed, it's as simple as that. And you know what? I want to be blessed. I tithe. I want to be blessed. You know, I want to be obedient to God. And, you know, that's a huge part of the gospel itself, is obedience to God, doing what he says do. His Bible is full of that. And his law is not harsh. It's not hard. Christ said, take my yoke upon you. It's light. The world's yoke is heavy. But Christ says, and there's that, to me, anyway, in my mind, in my way of thinking, you know, there's that harmonious blending that you mentioned, Tim, you know. But Christ says, take my yoke upon you. You know, I don't require a lot. And when we do, his blessings flow. His blessings flow, and he provides. You know, you can read, in reading through this, he talks about, you know, not seeing, I think it's David in Psalms, not seeing the righteous beg for food. Well, you know, one part of righteousness is obedience to God. In as many aspects, is it perfection? No, there's only been one that was perfect. There's only been one that didn't sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. But the rest of us strive towards it. And we do the best we can. And, you know, it's a tithing is a faith builder. I have no idea how we got on this subject. You know, I got Zika pulled up on the computer I wanted to talk about. But that, I guess that's how the Holy Spirit moves. But and you read about the apostle, I think it's the apostle Paul that talks about it when he's talking about the, you know, how much he appreciated the gifts and the support that the churches of the day had given him. And he said, I talk to you about it, and I don't seek it for the gift, but for the or for the gift to me, but for the blessing it is to you. And you know, truthfully, that's how it is. It is a blessing. God blesses those that that are obedient to His word. And you know, tithing is just one part of it. You know, praying for others and intercessory prayer and I mean, it all ties in. But you know, especially on the finances, so many people are struggling today because they won't tithe. They won't believe that truth.
Yeah, Malachi 3:10. If ye bring the whole tithe into the storehouse,
yes,
so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you the blessings until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. And not only believe it, but live my life according to that. You know, that's what we have to remember too, folks, is belief is not just, well, I believe it in my mind, but I do whatever I want to do. No, true belief and faithing it is living your life based on that. Doing certain things based on that, and then not doing certain other things based on that. See, that's part of repentance. That's part of repent means to change. And so when we read truth, I know when I we came on this ministry 20 plus years ago, and learned that, I didn't understand tithing. You know, I'd put a $5 in the plate at church before, but that was about it. I didn't understand tithing. That was one of the many truths that our pastor, you know, taught on and opened our eyes to. And so when I learned that, when God showed that to me, well, you know, you change your life. You change what you do. And that was certainly a change for the better. You know,
one of the added benefits, too, is that the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the air. So when you're putting nothing but the Word of God up in the ionosphere, because that's how shortwave works, it basically launches that signal up in the ionosphere, and then it travels whatever distance the frequency is that you have set, and then it'll drop down into the area that you're trying to reach. So I remember Dad always saying that added bonus is that it's got to irritate Satan that we're putting the Word of God up in the air.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's planting seeds. You know, it's putting the Word out. I've heard it before. I've got to look the quote up and see where it comes from. I don't know if it's C.S. Lewis or what, but there's an old quote that says the truth, like the Bible truth, is like a lion. You don't have to protect it. Just turn it loose, and it'll take care of itself.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I've found that to be so true with Bible truth. You know, you don't have to defend it. It's like, listen, the Word, you know, if you're going to have your foundation on Jesus Christ, that solid rock that does not falter, then you believe His Word. And if you believe His Word, you ought to apply that to your life and live your life that way. And, you know, it as complex as it is, it's as simple as that. You know, it really is. If the Bible says it, well, you know. I remember the pastor talking about the old-time preacher. The new preacher came to town and was going to argue that, no, baptism isn't there for us today. Baptism for the remission of sins, no. That means something else. And so the old preacher went first. He got up and read Acts 2:38. Sat back down. And the young preacher got up and he talked and he bellowed and he just, you know, hypothesized. And he went here and there and he twisted this and this for 45 minutes. And when he was done, the old preacher got back up and went up and opened up his Bible to Acts 2:38 and said, yep, still there. And you know, people, remnant, it is as simple as that. It is. The Bible is still there. Now, if it's still up on your shelf gathering dust, it doesn't do you any good. But the good news is still there. You know, Christ came to set the captives free. But you know, you want to be set free, you got to be like Paul and Silas. When you're shackled, when you're you know, chained to the wall in prison at midnight, and you've been beaten. What were they doing? Singing praises to God. Singing to God. And the Lord sent an earthquake and opened up the chains fell off of them and opened up the prison doors. You know, there's still some things we have to do. We have to do our part. We have
to do our part. You know what's somewhat sad and disheartening, though, is people who call themselves Christians, they talk about this global warming and you know, all these things that are happening. And I'm like, do you realize if we were obedient, if we followed John 14:15, I think it is, but if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we kept his commandments, we wouldn't have to worry about all these things. We wouldn't have to worry if there's enough food. We wouldn't have to worry if we're going to run out of water. We wouldn't have to worry about global warming. We wouldn't have to worry about any of these things.
Right.
And they can't get it through their head.
Right.
They just can't. They got too much indoctrination through the public school system or whatever it is. But, you know, the enemy's done a really good job at getting people to believe a lie over and over and over.
Yes, they have.
Amen. Well, I was talking to a young man the other day on some things, and he said, well, I don't know that I need Christianity or God. You know, I have ethics. My ethics are, I have my rules on ethics, and the Lord just put it into my head, and I said, you know, there's morals and there's ethics, and they're not the same thing. And I said, well, rules of ethics are all right, but they vary on whatever philosophy or group you happen to belong to. But God's morals, they're called laws,
right,
of moral relations. He has a set of laws, and our ethics are based on those laws. It's a really solid foundation. It's that rock, you know, that foundation that they're based on. And we see that out there in the world. You know, they just are tossed about. The Bible says they're tossed about like a wave, and their ethics change on whatever particular group or philosophy that they're tying into. And we tend to, as a group of people on this ministry and as Christians, we judge all those ethics by the moral laws of the Bible and of God. And it changes your viewpoint. It rebukes that devourer.
It does.
I mean,
and you know, for years, that public fool system that you mentioned, John, what they've been teaching is situational ethics. You know? That, okay, so is it, you know, and it'd be presented like this. Okay, is it okay to steal? And the answer is no. You don't steal. Well, what if you're hungry? What if you're hungry and you're starving, and your wife and baby are starving, and they just need food, and, you know, the person over here has plenty. Is it okay then? Well, you know, is it okay to steal to keep somebody from dying? You know, to feed your family. And they twist it around and they create these situational ethics. And the answer is no. Thou shalt not steal. Bottom line, end of story. You know? And so there's other things to do. If you believe that is the found, you know, that's solid, that is morality. You know? That, yeah, you don't know. You know, you don't steal. You know, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, anyway. You know, and so, you know, it's not a situational thing. It's that way. Now, you know, are we always obedient to that? Are we always obedient to the Big Ten? You know, to everything in His Word? No, we're not. That's why Christ came. But I think it was Vince Lombardi said, you know, desire, you know, shoot for perfection. You know, that's something to look for, to strive for. You won't make it, but, you know, it's a goal. It's a goal that you work towards. You know, you keep trying. And that's what we do, you know. As we grow in His grace and knowledge, we try to apply more. You know, where's it at? Well, several places throughout the Bible, but in Matthew it says, you know, forgive so that God will forgive us. You know? And so, you know, that's one of the things we're supposed to do. And it has great benefit when we do it. We get health benefits when we forgive others, when they wrong us. Whether they ask for forgiveness or not, we get, you know, there's great health benefits. It's like you know, taking the herbs and the supplements. It really is. It's even better than that when we forgive. And the Bible tells us to do that. Plus, we get the eternal.
You know, great.
We get the eternal forgiveness as well. You know, but there's great health benefits to forgiving. But people won't do it. And you look at our people today. You look at the result. You can tell they don't forgive because our people are sick. So many of our people are sick today. You know, and a lot of it is from unforgiveness.
A great response to that situation that you're in, Tim, where someone says that, oh, I don't need God, I have morality and I have ethics or whatever. I always say, well, then you ought to thank God that he put the laws of God on your heart, you know?
Amen.
Yeah. Without that, you would be a heathen. But I got news for you. There's things in this world called conduits to demons. There's all of these temptations. There's all of these things. And if you, God gave us free will. If you give in to those things, then you give up that gift. You give up that morality, that those laws of God that he's put upon your heart.
Yes.
Amen. Very good points.
And you know, that's a mark of true Israel too. That you do have those morals, that you do have some type of ethics. You know, it's just that the people, we read about it, you know, we're in the days where they worship the creature rather than the creator. You know?
Yep.
And the people think that, oh, I've come up with these ethics. Oh no, I confess my sin. Before I was a Christian, you know, I'd gone to church, and I didn't want anything to do. I didn't like what I saw in the church at all. That didn't resonate with me in the little, you know, Judeo-Christian churches, and so I just reasoned in my own mind and heart. Well, I have my own relationship with God, you know. I thought I was just special, and you know, almost everybody thinks that they're special. That, oh, these laws, oh yeah, that Bible stuff, that's for most people. But I know better. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And you know, and you know, it's a lie that many times we believe. It's our own lie that we believe. And no, we all have to do. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this word is for, you know, it's for all of us. It's for his people. It's for that lost sheep. But it's also for the world. You know, it is for all. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And so, but you don't have, you look at the other people of the world, you don't have the morals and the ethics. You don't have that law. That law is not written on their heart. You know, that's a mark of the new covenant, is that I'll put my laws, statutes, and judgments, my morality, my ethics, meaning God's, on their hearts. And we have that on it today. Now, our enemy does a good job of getting around that, you know, and getting that, you know, layered over with all these cares of the world. But even caring for the other races, caring for the other people of the world, caring so much that, you know, you do without, that you sacrifice and you just have faith that this shortwave will just continue on and on, putting out, you know, the gospel in the Chinese language and in the Russian language and in Portuguese and in all, you know, 10 different languages all over the world. Because the world needs to hear the gospel message. But that's a mark of true Israel today. It's a mark of you know, answering the Great Commission. Responding to the call of the Great Commission. Because, you know, there's a lot of peoples out there that don't do that, that haven't done that. You know, the Guatemalans, the Mexicans, the Chinese, the Japanese, they, you know, not that they can't become Christian, But they haven't responded as a people to the call of the Great Commission. The Great Commission has taken the gospel to them. Anyway, maybe just some rambling. But
well, you know, we talk about the importance of baptism, and obviously it is, but if you go back to Acts 2:38, the first thing Peter said to them was what?
Repent.
Repent.
Yes.
And without that repentance, without dying to your old life before you go into baptism, it's a bath.
Yes.
And if you cling to the sins that are familiar to you, things that that you won't give up, then that's not repentance. Repentance is dying to yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's something that even some of the churches who may agree with immersion baptism, they don't say it's for the remission of sins. Many don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ. But I don't know of any that talk about repentance before. And without it, it means nothing.
Right.
I remember talking to some local pastors who believe in baptism. They have a baptismal and all that. And I said, well, do you talk to them about repentance before they're baptized? Well, no, it's just a, you know, outward sign of an inward grace or whatever. And I said, what are you talking about? You're going into a watery grave. You're being buried with Christ, and all the sins that you have are to be buried with
yeah.
you. And when you come up out of that water, all those sins are gone. But if you haven't had a change in your life, if you haven't truly come to repentance, if you're not willing to die to that old life, it means nothing. And it's evidenced by the stories that they tell me. Yo, I baptized this guy Saturday night, and Sunday he came to church and told me about, you know, or was telling his friends how he went and slept with some other woman, you know, and it's like, that wasn't baptism.
No, it wasn't. You know, Pastor talked about that early. He would tell that story how early on in his, you know, he was working, I think, as a welder, and you know, was going to Bible college and was preaching on Sunday at a little church and doing things like that, and was talking about baptism, and one of the old men in his shop said something about that. Well, heck, you could baptize me. And Pastor said something to the effect of, well, all you'd be is wet after that. You'd just be wet, and that's it, because there's no repentance. There has to be repentance. You know, you read about that, return. That's what return to me. God doesn't say, come to me. Come to me. He does at times. Come to me, ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How do you get that rest? You change. You can't. You know, and there, to me, there's some of those harmonious scriptures, you know. If you love the world, you know, friendship with the world is what towards God? Enmity. It's hatred.
Enmity. Yeah.
You know, you can't serve two masters. You can't love the world and love God. You just can't. It's as simple as that. It is. Well, guys, the phone lines were open, but hadn't had anybody call. Got about 10 more minutes here this morning. 307-745-5913. One warning I did want to give out before we run out of time this morning, and I've got a quote for you from the creator of Pokemon. Okay? And Pokemon is as simple as this. It's demonic. It's anti-Christian. Let me give you a quote from Satoshi Tajiri. You didn't know I spoke Japanese, did you, John? How about that? Satoshi Tajiri, that's who created Pokemon. And in an interview with Time, okay, this isn't something taken out of context. This was an interview with Time back in 2012, November 7th, 2012. I'll send you the quote if you want it, folks. You know, you can send me an email, preacher@sfaw.org, and I'll send you the quote. I'll send you the article that it comes from. But it's an interview, and here's an interview. He says, yes, Pokemon is essentially the correct answer towards life, not Christianity. He says, my parents were Christians. I grew up being taught the ways of that religion. Now, that's because the Great Commission was answered, and Christianity was taken to Japan and China, to the Far East. And some people, like this Satoshi Tajiri, his parents embraced Christianity, but this guy didn't. He says, I started to realize that Christianity thing was foolish, and I rebelled. He said, that's when I was inspired by nature and started the bases for the Pokemon games. He says, when I got old enough, I wanted to do something that would show the world that my parents were wrong. See, there's that rebellion against Christianity. Something I saw in nature was the concept of evolution, which my parents denied. This sparked the idea for a game that would go against everything my parents believed in. And the Time reporter said, so this game being Pokemon, correct? Now here's the quote. Yes, Pokemon is essentially the correct answer towards life, not Christianity. Everything presented in the game is the opposite of what Christians may believe. Let me give you that quote again.
They love to brag, don't they?
From the creator of Pokemon. Everything in the game is the opposite of what Christians may believe. Some have said that the game promotes voodoo or magic. And I agree. So there you go.
I'll put that statement in the next newsletter for sure.
Yeah. So
that's right there, that's it. Yeah. There's no argument.
There is no argument.
Yeah.
You know, now, choose you this day. You know, if you want to believe this, if you want to believe what the enemy of Christ tells you or not. It's as simple as that. Because this Satoshi Tajiri is an enemy of Christ. Okay? And, you know, folks, our what we're charged with here, it's like when Christ said to Peter, the Apostle Peter, he said, do you love me, Peter? Peter said, I do. And he said, tend my sheep. And he asked him again. He said, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. See, part of tending and part of feeding is this kind of stuff right here. It ties in. It's that harmonious relationship, Lord. Tim, that's my new word for the day, harmonious. I love it.
Harmonious. You know?
Harmonious. Because it ties in with being a watchman on the wall. How many times, John, you've quoted that time and time again from Ezekiel, that we are watchmen on the wall and the blood is on our hands if the warning isn't given. Well, here's the warning, folks. It is a conduit to demons. The Creator Himself says it's anti-Christian, that it's against Christ, it's against everything a Christian should believe. And so,
well, and
don't embrace it.
Second John, you know, it's a one-chapter book, and it's one of those whenever someone denies Christ, either through actual word or action. But when they vehemently did it, deny Christ, starting in verse 7, 7 through 11, and it just ties in here. I've got to read it. It says, for many deceivers, that's what Mr. I can't say his name, have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, not your Pokemon screen, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And then verse 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, which is, you know, what you're doing with that phone,
yes.
And do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So, you know,
our people do participate in the evil deeds of darkness. And, you know, but it's like this, repent. You know, if you've done it, if you've downloaded, if you've let your children do it, repent and change. Change that.
Yeah.
Do that today. Change it today. You know, I know we've talked about it in Sunday school and I've talked about it with my children. Don't you have that crap? You don't have that on your phone. You don't. It's demonic. And you know, there's pictures. I'm going to bring some of this on a review of the news. I don't think tomorrow, but maybe next Sunday, John. I've got some graphics I want to show. One of them is a news program. You know, they do those live. And here's the news. They're giving the weather. And here a woman walks right between the camera and the weatherman because she's got her nose on her phone playing Pokemon Go. And they're having people crashing into cars, walking off roads and cliffs. It's insanity. It is a spell, people. It is a spell. So there's the warning. Take it or not.
Well,
here's the warning given in love.
Absolutely. Truth be known,
that creator of Pokemon is probably extremely wealthy from creation of that game. And there's no doubt, based on what you just read, that he made a deal with the devil. How many times have we seen, over and over, these people who make deals with the devil to get that fame and notoriety and position wealth in the world, but they've given up their soul.
Amen.
I mean, we saw it with Keith Ledger, we saw it with Robin Williams, we saw it time and time again. And God will, I mean, and the God of this world will use him for a certain point.
Yes.
As long as he can cause destruction, as long as he can lead people away from Jesus Christ, as long as he can bring them to him through deception. But as soon as he's done with him, if we're around, you'll see that this Antichrist will commit suicide too, because the voices in his head, disturbance that will that Satan will send upon him after he's done with them will cause him to take his own life.
Yes.
There's no doubt. It's over and over, you see it.
Absolutely. And that Pokemon Go is not the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to bring. Christ said, I came to bring life and life abundant. That's what Christ has. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, again, when we read our word and ask for understanding, we recognize that. So anything that comes in our life, if it's abundant life and life abundant, it's of Christ. If it's not, if it's stealing, killing, destroying, it is of the enemy. It is of Satan of old. It is of the destroyer, the liar. We have to recognize that. We really do. And we have power over all of it. That's the good news. Part of the good news.
Amen.
Well, guys, we're out of time. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. And John, we sure appreciate it. And folks, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us either physically at the LaPorte Church of Christ. If you're going to do that, we do ask that you contact us. Let us know, and we'll have a cup of coffee for you. But you can also join us at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And when you go to the home page in the upper left-hand corner, you can click on the live video stream. And that starts at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Sunday morning. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And join us for a review of the news. For a welcome by John, we'll have I've got another brother bringing communion tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Brother Lance said he's going to bring a communion message for us. So actually, it's son-in-law Lance, but we're looking forward to that. And we'll have some good music and a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And boy, the messages have been so relevant for today. We've been wrapping up the America the Redeemed series, and I've been taking notes. It's been a blessing. So we invite you to church. There's the invite. You don't have to get dressed up. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 Central in the morning. Well, men, again, thanks, and God bless. Hope you have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.
big hind. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.